Greetings, Be Aware people. Welcome to Be Aware Nation, a corporation for evolution. We invite you to interact with us as we explore, develop, and synthesize awareness throughout layered living. We're evolutionizing the way people think, feel, and deal by merging medias into minds that matter. Being aware is a state to put your mind in. Join us as we consciously work to adapt the frameworks, models, and structures that make up all of our present-day operating systems and ownership models. We're here to fully explore the realm of where the ethereal becomes the material. Be Aware Nation is guided by the wisdom of the human spirit, utilizing the laws of science.
That's right. Greetings, Be Aware people. I'm Sally Lutzer, and I'm here with Barry Lutzer, my husband of 25 years. And we're very happy to introduce you to our Be Aware Nation concept, because we say being aware is a state to put your mind in. And I also want to thank very much the BBS Radio family for having us. We're very happy to be joining all of our fellow hosts, and we look forward to a long and prosperous relationship together. So thank you very much, BBS Radio. You're doing a great, great service, I think. So a little bit about us. As I said, we have been married for over 25 years, and it's an interesting story how we met. We actually were, I was staying with a friend in Rudolph Valentino's old house, which was right next to the Paramount Lot Studios here in Los Angeles, and it was then an apartment building. And I was upstairs visiting my friends, and Barry was downstairs visiting his friends, and they all happened to know each other, so there we were. I was upstairs, he was downstairs, and boom, it was one of those love at first sight at Rudolph Valentino's old house. So how's that for a little love letter to each other? So we actually didn't have an opportunity to meet and to talk with each other until months later. But at that time, we again confirmed our love at first sight and committed to making love our career and being together from that moment forward. And when I say making love our career, believe me, that is a very interesting career path to choose. Because, you know, as much as we all want so many things in this material world, I truly believe that love is the foundation and the destination of everything that we're about, whether we're doing it unconsciously, consciously, whether we're doing it backwards, inside out, as we all do, because we're living in this material world, and there's a lot of challenges to face, and so it's about finding ways to express and manifest our love. And the material is wonderful. The material world is a great place. It's our environment, it's nature, it's people, it's plants, animals, things. It's wonderful places to live. It's wonderful places to go. Some people live in other situations than they might find admirable. But that's one of the things that love is really rising up and teaching us now at this time in our humanity, is the ways that we are all connected. We really are all one. And I think what our work is about is finding ways to express and connect each other in a plausible, functional way that we can operate within this dynamic of living here in the material world. I know a lot of the hosts here on BBS Radio are very connected to what we call the ether world. We call them ether communications. And we truly believe that we do communicate on many, many dimensions. And we, being here in the physical world, are in our physical bodies, are experiencing one of those dimensions. And our work here on Earth is about learning how to essentially evolve ourselves individually and collectively as a planet. And that's one of the greatest changes that's going on now, I think, in human consciousness, is how we all are coming together and becoming more aware of how to do that. And so Be Aware Nation is the name of our show. And how did we come to Be Aware Nation? Well, that's a little bit of an interesting story. We, as I said, we've been together for a long time and individually had our own careers before we got together. I was a singer and an actress and performed and had a great career and it was really enjoying it. But something was missing because in performing, one tends to think that perhaps I'm just being an actor, acting out somebody else's life. Perhaps I'm singing somebody else's song. What about singing my own song and acting my own drama? What does that really mean? And I think that's when I began my own quest into my deep spiritual wondering about how to connect myself in a much deeper way to the actions that I was having here. And Barry was a child prodigy. He was a sports prodigy. He was a catcher, and he was very talented and took his Northridge, California team all the way to the Little League World Series. And from there, he went on to be in the Angel Rookie League, thinking about really becoming a professional baseball player, but found that he, too, wanted something deeper and more meaningful in his quest, and that professional baseball arena at that point in time didn't really offer that to him. So he began to really research and become involved in holistic medicine and products, and had quite a journey as a pioneer in holistic medicine and the natural health food world. So we get together and we say, okay, this is where we are coming from. What do we do together? And so we used our communication work that we were, an educational work that we were currently involved in, and put it all together. And we actually worked within the corporate structure, within the private sector, with some other companies. We weren't totally out on our own at that time, and had quite an interesting experience working within the corporate world and the nonprofit world on educational tools and trainings. And so that was really an exciting time. That's when personal development was really beginning to find its arc. And so it was very exciting to be connected with so many people who now are staples in this world of communication. But we said, okay, let's create something that's all our own, and that began our venture into being entrepreneurs. And one of the things that we really enjoyed was writing songs together, and so we were producing some material. And I just so happened to be going to the mall one day, parked the car, which was actually a van, and thought I locked it up and went on into the mall to buy a book or something and came out and got in the van and started it up. And I'm going down the road and I hear this voice, "Hey, lady." And I thought, well, gosh, we didn't have a radio in the van. And I turned my head around and, hey, there's a guy behind me, hidden behind the seat, who's proceeding to tell me that he's kidnapping me and taking me up to the hills for nefarious adventures. And I didn't think that was a very good idea. I was absolutely petrified, terrified, scared out of my mind. How am I going to get out of here? I didn't know if he had a weapon. So I moved my hand towards the car handle, and he didn't make a move. So I opened that door and jumped out at 40 miles an hour and did the most fabulous swan dive onto the pavement. But fortunately, I was okay and just had some bad cuts and bruises. And I guess he was there left with a van going nowhere. So at one point, he jumped in and found himself into a parking lot. I don't know. But the point being that that experience was so shocking to us that I was literally kidnapped, and I didn't know I was, here I was kidnapped. What did this mean? So, of course, we wanted to talk to the police. We filed the police report, and they said, you know, the ways that people are being kidnapped are just, women don't understand the modus operandi. At that time, it was quite, there was quite a rash of kidnappings where people were, women were being taken away in vehicles, and it wasn't quite the same as it is now that we're so aware of the kids. But they said, if you really want to understand the modus operandi, you have to change the behavior about women being aware. And that really struck home for me because I didn't have a clue. I just got back into the car. I wasn't really looking around. I didn't know all of these ways that I could be absconded with. And so out of that experience, working with the police, and at that time the LA Assaults Against Women was doing a fantastic program about self-defense for women, we decided that what we needed to do was teach young girls about awareness and about self-defense. And so we started a group called the Be Aware Girls, and they were a group of preteen and teenage girls that sang and performed and opened up the floor to dialogue about teen issues, one of them being self-defense, but also about jealousy and falling in love and, you know, sexual feelings and all the issues that face teens. And so out of that work, which was very well received in the public sector, we worked with Cal State System, and so we really enjoyed that, and it was very, very rewarding. But then we moved to Seattle, and at that time the internet was really birthing. So we were aware of the fact that technology was really going to make a giant leap in how we could communicate. And at that point, we decided that we would take our work and really take some time to rearrange it and refocus it so that we'd be ready for this digital communication. And so that's kind of where this Be Aware work really evolved. And so I'll let Barry kind of take it from here then.
Thanks, Dahl. Hello, everyone. And really, this is our inaugural radio presence. We've had an awful lot of opportunity in the past for communicating in places and with people and in situations where we were always advised that the radio was our friend and that we would find a good, fertile environment there. So we're quite pleased that the internet has finally provided us with the kind of platform that we've always been looking forward to. And this clearly is an excellent example of really where we are in terms of the internet's ability to deliver the kind of communication, facility, platform facility that ultimately now is in the hands of the people. And as she said, we have an awful lot to be thankful for the BBS family and the network and the efforts that they're putting forth. Clearly, to create a platform that enables a broad spectrum of voices to be heard around a particular subject area certainly enhances all of our abilities to find an access point to the kind of information that turns us on individually. So we're pretty thrilled with the opportunity to participate. And clearly, on the BBS side, they're looking forward to expanding their own abilities to get this message out in a much broader way. So it's nice to be able to hook up with like-minded individuals. It's a large and growing family, simply because awareness itself is large and growing. So the whole realm of awareness is really such a stimulating field. As we see now, there are so many ways in which the world itself, evolution itself, is creating a wave of awareness that is causing all types of people to want to expand and reach further in their own perceptions and their own observations of their own life's processes. And that's really what we really have created, is an opportunity to really look at those life processes in a more systemic way. What our own personal journey has given us is an opportunity to look and see what facets of our own personal process that we committed to, which was this concept of making love our career. How do you use love, therefore, therein to be the answer in all of your life's situations? And clearly, as she said, in the material world, in the physical world, love is not necessarily the grease that makes everything slide through. So it sometimes is incongruent in many situations to think that love is going to be the answer. And so we've certainly been challenged in many ways in attempting to continue to use love as the foundation and the destination as our guideposts, but in really looking at what it takes to craft and stitch that foundation together with that destination, that's why it's so easy to get lost in this life. It's easy to get lost. They say that being aware is a significantly difficult process. It's not that it's difficult, it's simple. It's just not easy. And so that's really where it comes down to really trying to analyze what facets of being aware are identifiable in a way that is communicate, that one can communicate to another. You know, being aware is not necessarily something that is easy to describe. And so as we ourselves found ourselves going through our own process, we discovered that there were many aspects of that process that didn't really actually have a language, that didn't have any types of communication carriers. There weren't language links to really describe the types of experiences we were having. Our commitment to each other when we first began was really to enable this type of life together, was really going to be based on giving ourselves the flexibility and freedom to live outside the parameters of what we knew normal life to be. And so that demanded that we try to find some way to continue to define that and describe it as we went along. It was clearly challenging at every turn. But in doing so, we recognized that there were lots and lots of ways in which we were sort of determining for ourselves a reliable functional model that continued to answer many of life's issues in similar manners. So we started to recognize that, you know, the basic pattern of our own personal process fell within particular patterned responses. And the nature of our individual beings sort of began to reflect these basic patterns no matter what situations we found ourselves in life. And so it was our abilities to identify those individual response patterns that enabled us to recognize where our individual processes were tying together effectively and efficiently and reflecting the type and quality of love that we were after as a goal. And so it was those kinds of abilities to articulate what the patterns were where we found resonance. And so when we began to recognize that those showed up across different life experiences, we started to recognize that perhaps we could systemize a basic understanding and develop some type of a node map, if you will, that could be created and defined so that it could be followed. So our desire was always to try to express our process, and as we evolved personally and developed through our processes, most of our own personal natures began to take fruit through this prism, through the way we perceived our process together. And so it was actually through that we started to develop this body of work. It was really our view that everything we did in life fundamentally was about expanding our ability to love. when she was kidnapped and we began to understand this concept of awareness and self in place and in process, it certainly began to deliver us an opportunity to observe how deeply the layers really entwine us. And when we are not observant and fully observant of those layers, we can easily be tripped up in this life and not really understand why or how or where that occurred. And so that's really the substance of what being aware really is all about, is identifying those layers of our experiences that really comprise our life, and being able to do so in an articulate manner to ourselves so that we understand the very nature of our many-layered selves in as full and as vibrant and as robust and loving and supportive manner as we can.
When you say selves, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute, because, you know, we truly do have different people driving our cars at different times. And so, you know, of course, that all comes back to the thoughts that you're having. You know, what part of you has what kind of thoughts? And do those thoughts take precedence at any given time? And are they in your best interest? Are they vagrant thoughts? Are they productive thoughts? Are they... And so when we talk about layered living, the layers, and the requirement to really pay attention, I think, you know, one of the most difficult things, you know, everyone has a story, and every story is so important, and everybody has challenges in their lives, whether it looks to you that they have the... have none. It, everybody has a challenge, and everybody has to find their way around them. So I think it's about, at what point do you commit yourself that awareness, that being aware of your own self or yourselves, your different personalities within your personality, and what that personality does as it interacts with the outside world, that's the rub. That's where we get, you know, we say, well, I don't want to do the work, because some part of us says, well, no. I don't want to do that. Well, you know, or somebody tells us that that's not appropriate for us, and so we want to be accepted. And so, you know, we know that little trap that we can all get in. And so one of the things about awareness is the discipline that it takes to constantly be awake. And when you're awake, you really get to, when you break through and say, I'm going to be awake, you get to experience things on a whole nother level. And that is the joy and the reward of being aware. And there's a lot of ways that when you are aware, you see your life in a different way. And a lot of people don't want you to see it that way. And it can be uncomfortable. It can be very challenging, as we said, to make these changes in your life, because you suddenly see things with an awareness. And I think that that's the beauty of what's going on in the world now, that there's so many books, people, you know, movies, you know, people are seeking out things of meaning. And wherever it is that you find a resonance to do the work, to find a tribe, to find a family, to find those that you can surround yourself with so that you can really take yourself to the next level, that's what's going on now, and that's very exciting. So it's a great time to be alive. You know, sometimes we think about, we are in an incredible time. There is a shift going on in consciousness. But when we look back over the arc of history and those critical times in history, you know, we have to be thankful for those who have gone before us, because whatever their challenges were, they made it so that we could be here today. And our responsibility is to make it so that the generations can be here tomorrow. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we do need to be very awake and very aware to take care of ourselves and this planet, because we are at a very transcendental shift in what's going on in the world. So when we talk about systems, let's get back to that.
Well, really, it's an interesting point to transit, because really one of the things that really happened to us was in looking at our own personal process, in how we merged all of the different experiences into our lives, into these patterns that I'm speaking about. When we recognized that these patterns were continuing to, continuing to replicate in various aspects of our lives, it was not necessarily easier for us, but it was easy for us to come to know and come to recognize those parts of ourselves that were the drivers of the car, as she said. We were able to identify the layers of ourselves and how many voices were demanding attention in the process of living, and what aspects of our beings were busy rising to the surface, looking for the kind of attention, looking to take control over directing the goals. And so as we began to recognize those aspects of ourselves that we were committed to literally merging together into this singular way of perceiving and observing life through the unity of our marriage, through the unity of our being, through the unity of our perceptive way of living, we began to recognize that there were indeed systems to the way in which our own patterns showed up. And so when we analyzed what those systems were, we looked at all of the ways in which our own personal individual histories were woven together, and then how we had begun to weave our individual components together as a unit. And so, of course, we brought each of our own full understandings of what life means. And so that's your own spiritual understanding. And how does that spiritual understanding come to be reflected within the context of this living system of love that we had committed to as our career? And so life really sort of began to showcase for us that we indeed did have some components that enabled us to view our own process of merging our own understanding of spirit into the way in which we perceived self, selves, layered living, and where spirit appeared in that pattern of our experiences. And so, as she says, when you look at the layers of your being and you understand what it is you're weaving together, we've both had a series of losses of family members, and my own personal process involved the loss of my youngest brother at a very interesting time, and we were very close to him. And we were very close to him in his own personal pursuit of spirit as well. And so this whole concept of spirit and spirit's ability to communicate and why we found resonance here in the BBS realm is because of the significance of what ether communications really mean to us, and where they really took hold of really beginning to be known to us throughout those patterns that we were becoming more aware of, and therefore informed by, And so it became clear to us that we had another opportunity. My younger brother told me quite consciously to get ready and go to this particular place that we had agreed upon, and I will do everything in my realm of communication capacity to know you and deliver information to you. And in no uncertain terms, I fully believe that's exactly what has transpired. And he has delivered a significant understanding of what it is in terms of my own personal knowledge and understanding of spirit and spirit's ability to inform, instruct, and literally construct our lives. And so the opportunity is really quite something, because I've always felt a very personal relationship with the universal power. And to the degree that that universal power was always present in my experience, it had never taken on such a clarified understanding as I gained once my youngest brother passed and began delivering such complete understanding. And so when he did this, it was, as Sally said, right at the time when the Internet was birthing. He passed away in 1994. And so at this point in time, our own personal process had gotten to the point where we had made a commitment to literally unplug ourselves from every single aspect of normal conventional life and remove ourselves so that we could indeed absorb ourselves in our own thoughts and in our own communication protocol with these patterns. And out of that evolved this body of work of which Be Aware Nation is the basis of. And we came to understand what this work was really all about through this basic formalization of which I'll now deliver to you. And it really came about as a function of our own personal process of discovering our own spirit nature, as well as living in the material world, at where science had begun to significantly articulate what spirit living was all about. The realms of science began to become far more known in ways that used to be left to the unknown. Not left to the unknown, but the lack of credible physical knowledge allowed spirit seekers to fashion a reality without knowledge. Science has begun to literally deliver knowledge about some of that unknown, which has begun to make it more science-like as opposed to more spirit-like. And what we are all doing is coming to terms with the human understanding of what that information means to our living experiences. And as we, as the human family, continue to evolve and emerge into this ever new technological era, we are indeed finding ourselves rubbing up against enormous amounts of known data, explained phenomena. And so we are being detached from our mythological basis. We are being detached from and separated from our known underpinnings of religiosity, the very nature of what has tethered us to belief in the past is now coming into question. And once questioned, is now coming up with different answers than some of the those that would control us have deemed appropriate to let out. And so that's a significant component of how we ourselves have come to this body of work. It was through our own personal desire to want to forge meaning out of our own process and out of this information flow and out of this new way of living in this new era. How could we define for ourselves, first and foremost, how love could be the answer and be the foundation and therefore be the basis of how to craft a new life in this new era? And so we simply began stitching it all together through our own personal interpretation, because what became clear to us was that it is indeed an interpretive process. And as such, as individual selves, we interpret what our reality is. And so as science began to explain some of the phenomena, such as the universe is continuing to expand, we looked at that, and we looked at our own personal history, we looked at human history, and it was clear to us in the context of love that humans have simply gotten better since the beginning of time at expressing and feeling love. So that immediately began to cause us to wonder whether or not the human process was inextricably linked to the universal process. And our basic understanding of our own nature caused us to recognize that the universal process had an enormous, bright, guiding light. So when we said to ourselves that, well, if the expanding universe is indeed have something to do with our expanding ability to love, how does that occur? Well, then we recognize that indeed science is now committed to the statement that it is indeed through the evidence of star quakes and such that it is cosmic energy that transmutes into material matter. And so then we said, okay, then that's a universal intention that must correspond with the desire of the universe to expand. And if the universe is continuing to expand and the cosmic energy continually transmutes into material matter, then perhaps humans' ability to love and nurture corresponds to all of that. And so then as we began to recognize through how those aspects reflected in those patterns that we know about our own personal process, we ventured to interpret that indeed if it is so that the universe is expanding, then it must be expanding with what we have identified as love-filled goodness. That every single thing that exists in the universe is therefore a transmutation of cosmic energy. That must mean that the universe's intention for us to be loving creatures is to cause us to be surrounded by love-filled goodness. And so therefore, every single thing that exists in the universe must be love-filled goodness. So that everything that exists in the universe, if it transmutes from cosmic energy must be transmuting love-filled goodness into material matter. So then we said, clearly, this pattern that exists in our own reality is very, very much akin to what we have identified as this cosmic trinity. And this cosmic trinity is really comprised of what we call our own interpretation of the universal operating system, our own perception and application and view of the global operating system, and our own personal operating system. And when we look and see what aspects of our own personal process these three things reflect. We see that the cosmic energy that transmutes into love-filled goodness is really everywhere in the universe. And so the universe is comprised of what we call living assets of love-filled goodness. And that our personal process, our own personal interpretive process, is about choosing those living assets of love-filled goodness that most reflect our own personal interpretation of our experience. And so when we said that that concept is such that personal operating system is actually reflective of the UOS, GOS, and POS, and POS is the acronym that describes the positronium event. And this is where science describes where we believe to be the spark of life. That momentary association of an electron and a positron bound together for an instant that actually creates the atomic capability that forms material matter. And that's where cosmic energy transmutes into material matter. That must be the spark of life. That must be where spirit becomes science, where ether becomes material, where the realization of life actually manifests. And so if POS is really the significant statement of life becoming itself and cosmic energy transmutes into material matter of love-filled goodness every single nanosecond in that form, then our personal operating systems are constantly being renewed and refreshed every single nanosecond. And if our personal process is about finding an alignment within the concept of how that energy becomes manifest as ourselves, then ourselves as that energy source, that energy form of love-filled goodness, in interpreting love-filled goodness as a living presence, our beings have the opportunity to use love as the very basis of our being. And that's how we developed and constructed our own personal interpretation of our desire to make love our career and translated it into our own personal understanding of how we believed life occurs in the universe and have brought that together to develop what we call the living system of love.
Yep. Living system of love. Let's contemplate that for a minute. So if anybody would like to call, I'm going to give out some numbers. If you're in the continental United States, the toll-free number is 877-876-5227. The toll-free number for Canada is 888-815-9756. Again, the United States, 877-876-5227. And toll-free Canada, 888-815-9756. If you're anywhere else in the world, you would have to call area code 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, we're just about to be winding up here pretty soon, so if anybody wants to give a call, we'd be happy to take a call before the end of the show. And we want to talk about ether communications. So,
actually, that's exactly one of the things and ways in which we actually anticipate many of you to make contact with us, as it is the way in which you make contact now. It's certainly the way in which we've made contact, And it's certainly how contact is done. One of the most important components of what we call our cosmic trinity is really not only the UOS, GOS, and the POS, the universal operating system, the GOS is the global operating system, and the POS is your personal operating system, but we believe that we are fundamentally mirrors of the universal ethos. That literally the universe is expanding with love-filled goodness simply for the opportunity to have larger and more expansive, reflected, love-filled goodness. And that occurs through the ether communication that transfers and translates and transmutes the universal intention of that universal ethos into all love-filled living assets. And that's how ether communications really occur, that love vibration that is really at the basic core of all universal intention is transmuted. Ether communications really occur, and that's why we all basically have similar experiences, because we are all basically connected through those ether communications.
And when you talk about these operating systems, I mean, truly, the universe is an open source operating system, and that's why we're all communicating together. That's why we're looking, this whole idea of intellectual property, of copywritten material, all of these things that we're going through in the global economy to say, what is the economy now? Is it the information economy? Is it technology economy? Now with the advertising world so completely upon us at every turn, we call it the attention economy. So it's about everybody contributing to this open source operating system where we can all really try to figure out everybody has a contribution to make.
It's really an interesting time, and I think that's the fundamentals of why evolution has really shaken so many systems to their roots. Because fundamentally, the ways in which we are having to live today really are not prepared. What's about to occur in terms of the evolutionary compression, the evolutionary cycle that we're in, is creating such complete reformation of the structures, frameworks, and models that make up the way that life is lived. That's really the significance of the kind of pressure that we're feeling all around us. And how does evolution prepare and create the environment and atmosphere wherein these kinds of ether communications can begin to translate the new form of knowledge necessary to understand life in a different form, the form that is actually beginning to take hold? Our patterns of the past, our prior protocols, our prior institutional frameworks, our prior institutional way of thinking is being really shaken to its roots in every form, at every turn. And where we are now is being challenged to literally, consciously evolutionize the structures, frameworks, and models so that we can literally revivify the life that we all have through creativity, the fundamental core component of every single one of the human family, the very essence of how that universal ethos is translated. How have we fundamentally evolved since the beginning of time as humans? If you look at the expanding universe's process and you look at the evolution of the human family, you see that the mirror of the human development mirrors the evolution of the universe and the expanding nature of the universe. And when you recognize how the universe has expanded and you recognize how the human family has evolved and developed, you see that the significant capacity for the ability to now be aware of being aware has finally delivered the human mind, the human brain, the capacity to design their desires, to be aware of what the structures, frameworks, and models are capable of delivering. And so now that we are aware that the structures, frameworks, and models are not capable of delivering, we see around us so many of them coming apart. Well, human creativity is exactly what has caused us to be aware of the state we're in. It is human creativity that has expanded the most since the beginning of time. It is the common thread within each and every one of us that enables each and every one of us to be not only our own personal guides, but the guides to the human family. And that's why it's so important for each and every one of us to rise up, to stand up, to say out loud and declare what it is we do see, what it is we do feel, what those ether communications are saying to each and every one of us about how to take command over our own personal capacity to express our own creativity, to begin to craft anew a life that is full, that is hopeful, that is delivering exactly what it is we all know that this new expansive time that is so much more filled with a reflective quality of love and nurturement can really deliver. And it's a challenge that each of us must take hold of. And that's really the basis of what we hope to be able to do, is provide an arena, a fertile platform, an opportunity to express and share creativity, inspiration, community, commitment to the conviction that love indeed can deliver for us where so many other aspects of our lives process have left us wanting. And so when we look and see what it is we can do and how it is we can do it, we recognize that creativity is the one constant theme that has been used to cause ourselves to grow and flourish in every single way that we do. And so what we need to do going forward to bring more of ourselves to bear is to reach inside each and every one of us and cause that one little piece of creativity to shout itself out, to find a way to inspire someone else, to lift themselves up and shout their own song. Because that's where we're going. We're all going to sing in the choir about how good love and goodness really feels.
That's right. I love it. And it's so true. And so, really, let us leave you on that note that, you know, we all know the challenges that we've been through and that we face every day and in front of us. But we can make this decision to really reach out to those that resonate with us and to really truly find happiness, contentment, and be grateful for what it is we do have. We have all the raw material we need. We have it all within ourselves. Wherever you are in your own personal process at this very moment in time is just perfect. You don't need to scale a mountain. You are just perfect as you are. Look within yourself and find the things that inspire you, that enliven you, and grab a hold of those. because that's what's going to carry us all forward right here, right now. We need that incredible, vivacious, intent and inspiration to say, this is one of the greatest times. Let's all enjoy it. So thank you so much for joining us. We really look forward to next week. And Don, you can take us out now. Thank you so
much. Thanks very much, everybody. Till next time.
Thank you for joining us, Be Aware people, here at Be Aware Nation, where being aware is a state to put your mind in. So come visit us at BeAwareNation.com. Until we can continue our conversation next Sunday at 5 p.m. here on BBS Radio Channel 1, where we'll look forward to finding out what you're doing to merge medias into your mind in a way that matters. Remember, life affirms what you believe, so don't believe everything you think. Into it, your way home. See you in the ether.